Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Welcome to the Big Interview Bite Size. I'm Graham Hunter, and in each episode, you'll hear an elite footballer tell a story that's guaranteed to brighten your day. All of them come from my podcast, The Big Interview with Graham Hunter, which you can find by searching on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
You mentioned a name there that I grew up hearing about all the time. People who hear my accent might think it's Dave McKay, but everybody who I ever listened to, and I never saw him play on television because he died young, was John White.
John White, fantastic.
People said he was an outstanding footballer.
John White was an amazing player. He married Harry Evans, his daughter. Harry Evans was the assistant manager of Tottenham, was a lovely man, and John White came from Falkirk, was in the army, I think, and joined, he was at Falkirk and signed for Tottenham. He was amazing. And during the breaks, during the when I used to go there as a kid and train, Dave McKay, they'd say, John, show us a few tricks. And we'd all sit round, all us kids, and we'd be sitting there after having our little bit of dinner, you know. And John White would get the ball out. He could do anything. He was a magician with the football. But even just juggling with the ball, he could make the. He was a master of the football. But his passing when he played, he glided around the pitch. He seemed to skim over the surface somehow, you know. And Harry Evans gave me a pair of John's boots, John White's boots. And the silliest thing I've ever done as a boy at school, you know, when we played, he didn't have any boots at one time. I let him have the boots. I wanted him to play in the school team. And anyway, I never saw the boots again, but they were John's boots. And he was an amazing footballer.
One of the things that I've always admired about you and brought out a lot in the book was that you have a fabulous eye for a footballer. Not just necessarily a youth footballer or a raw footballer, but you're always willing to put a premium on ability above what other people might say. An example I'll go to immediately is putting your faith in Paulo Di Canio, in a maverick character who'd been banned for pushing over a referee. But for you, the talent was the important thing, which I think, I mean, there's multiple examples, but I think we could talk about, you know, building a team with Cano and Merson and winning trophies there. Tell me about your appreciation. I'm like, starting with Paulo, what made you make the decision, and what in general makes you think, I'll put talent ahead of whatever anybody else tells me about?
Well, I just think, you know, he was a special player, you know, and I used to watch him play at Sheffield Wednesday. I watched him at Celtic. And I just felt, I've never seen, when he was at Celtic, he was like a little kid in the playground. He was taking corners, throw-ins, whoever the ball, he wanted to do everything. He just wanted to win. And so when the opportunity came to bring it to West Ham, it was too good to miss. And people at the time wrote that I was walking a tightrope without a safety net under me by signing Di Canio. And, you know, people, newspaper men said it was, what a chance I was taking. He was going to, you know, finish me. But he was fantastic. He was amazing. The fans at West Ham absolutely loved him. There was up days, there was down days with him. He wasn't always easy to manage, but I mean, I look back, I laugh at this. We had some great times.
Yeah, but you look back at it now because it was a success. And he scored the all-time goal of the Premier League there. He raised expectations at the crowd. I think in the training field, he showed what a good pro he was. But it's in the moment of taking the risk that I think some of your talents shine out, that you will say, I'm willing to back talent and creativity over potential risk.
But yeah, but I think you have to, Graham, sometimes. I watched a game last night on TV. I'm watching Aston Villa play Birmingham. The first half was dire. It was dire. I'm watching it, I'm thinking, look at this. Suddenly they bring a kid on, Grealish, and this kid is floating over the pitch. He's beating players, he's doing drag backs, he's playing passes. He just lit the game up. But then suddenly you sit and think, I'm watching this kid. I thought, what a talent. whether he'll go on to be what he should be, but my God, he just changed the whole football match when he walked onto the pitch. It was amazing to watch. I love people that can play. We can go over the park on Sunday and watch a load of blokes running around, tackling, kick, booting the ball up the pitch and chasing it. You know, I want to see someone who can do something. That you, people want to see people do stuff that they can't. You know, where are the great wingers? Where's the Jimmy Johnsons? Where's the Wee Willie Hendersons? Where's the David Coopers, you know, that used to come down from Scotland, you know, played in Scotland? Where's the great dribblers? Where are they gone? People now, one against one. How many people can beat anybody? That's why you put it, when you watch Messi play, it's just incredible to watch. He does things that he's just incredible. And I love watching people that can do stuff, that can beat people, that can dribble and do something that the average man in the street or the average Sunday morning player can't do.
I feel that change, I think, began in the middle 70s as you were moving from being a successful player at West Ham, a winger, into management. The ones I admired who got me excited at the time were players like Duncan McKenzie, Peter Barnes, Frank Worthington. Alan Hudson was a different style of player.
Yeah, he was a fantastic player.
But they were being ignored then, Harry.
I know.
Even then.
Tony Curry. Alan Hudson. So, Peter Osgood. How many caps should they have had, really? You know, fantastic players. Gunter Netzer, you know, who plays for Germany. You see Tony Curry play, you see Hudson play. You know, they're up there.
They're as good.
As good.
What is it in the British nature, the English nature, given that you named half a dozen brilliant Scottish wingers there, and Charlie Cook, I want to throw in
Charlie Cook, fantastic.
Aberdeen legend.
Fantastic dribbler. Incredible. Roll the ball to you, people got to swipe it away and drag it back and drift away with it, you know.
Got changed at Chelsea on his first day, keeping the ball up the whole time. He could change out of his clothes and into his kit.
Fantastic.
Just to say, Charlie's here. What is it in our English character then that started to squeeze those talented players out by not picking them for England, by not developing footballers like them? And any clue why you, when you
were coaching, I think coaching, we suddenly became very functional, didn't we? You know, I used to go on managers' courses at that time, and teams like Wimbledon were being successful, and you know, and Watford were being successful. And suddenly, you know, when you went there, and Charles Hughes would be talking, and he would talk about the Pomo ball, and goals were scored by three passes or less, or you know, whatever. It suddenly became a game that it was a long ball game. Suddenly, you know, you're going to keep getting it, whacking out. People that wanted to play and could play were being. I could imagine Messi in them days turning up at a football club, having coaches look at him, and they didn't know, and they go, "No, he's got no chance. Look at the chance he got, you know, little skinny thing, little feet like, you know." And then he'd have probably beat about four, but then he'd have gone, "Nah, he couldn't do that." Yeah, try doing that up somewhere up north on a cold, wet night. You know, that was the attitude, wasn't it? I had Robert Prosinecki, and I had a coach at Portsmouth saying, "Lazy, look at it." So I watched him play. I'd have paid. It was just incredible to watch the man play. He was a genius. Yet there's people at the club didn't have any time for him, basically.
Robert was a joy to watch, and he was a bit scruffy, and he'd nick about with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth or whatever.
God, what a player.